So it was January 1946 when she came.
Right. When who came?
When Esther came.
Oh, no. She came before that. Yeah, but she came to the bar mitzvah.
Right, which was then.
Yes, right. And unfortunately, she was dying.
And she lived with you?
Yes, she did for about 6 months.
And she lived downstairs. Where did she sleep?
Downstairs on the couch that opened, yeah.
In the living room?
Yes, in the living room. Mm-hmm. And New Year's Eve, my friends came, the Judds and the Borkers and the Lupkins. And it was sad, you know, we tried to make it happy. And they were wonderful.
Sad because she was dying.
That's right.
What was wrong?
She was in bed. She had cancer of the lung. Never smoked. And she was in bed. And we laughed a lot, you know. We had good food. And it was wonderful. They tried to make her very, very happy.
How did she get along with your kids? With your sons?
Oh, she loved them. It was just wonderful. She kept saying to Kenny all the time, Kenny, you don't want to be a doctor. Look at how I'm suffering. This is what you want to look at every day? Suffering patients? Be something else. He says, no, I always wanted to be a doctor.
Huh. And what was, you were going to say a little bit about the party itself. At Kingsway, what was it like?
It was just beautiful. Who won? I want to see this.
My girl.
They're watching a game show.
The pretty one?
Yes.
With the dimples?
Right.
Oh, she won
$1,700,000.
Oh, my God.
on the first thing. No.
You have your water, Baba.
God.
He's crying. Look.
Oh, sure.
Wow.
What television show are you watching?
Duel.
Duel? I never heard of it.
It's a new one. It's only this week. It just lasted a week. Very interesting. It's a trivia.
And he lost. Uh-huh. Did he go with any money?
No, she beat him on the first thing. And I was right. I said, gallon of water. What made the most? Gallon of water. I said, he didn't pick gallon of water. She picked everything. He left out gallon of water.
Did he make any money?
What he had originally, yeah. $50,000, $60,000, yeah. They all won money, yeah.
Okay. $1,680,000. Wow.
All right. Now we'll get back to our other program.
Right.
I know it's exciting. It's not you and Papa watch TV a lot together. That's nice. So
$795,000.
$1,795,000. Is she married?
No. She's about 6'5".
Oh,
she's tremendously tall. Look how tall she is.
Yeah. God almighty. Smart girl.
Player.
The smart girl. Go ahead, Dom.
Look, they all love her. Look,
yeah.
Go. Josh.
Okay.
Now I'm gonna see it.
So, oh yes. Well, we're talking about two things. Dennis's, Kenny's bar mitzvah party.
It was beautiful.
And Esther coming and living with you and then dying. And do you remember the funeral?
Certainly. It was the worst. Screaming, crying. It was terrible. I remember my Aunt Buddy. I remember her vividly. When Esther's casket was carried to the front, she kept yelling, Esther, Esther, where are you going? Esther? I'll never forget it. And my Aunt May and Aunt Sally and everybody. It was very, very, very sad.
And that was 1956.
I don't know dates.
56, yeah. So my father was 13 years old.
Yes.
And Dennis was 8.
Yes.
And I guess that was the first time in their lives that they probably were ever at a funeral.
Right.
Right?
Right.
That they were old enough to remember. Although, no, your Papa's death, 1950, your father-in-law. So my father would have been old enough there. He was 7. Where do you think his desire to become a doctor came from?
You know, that's a very hard question. No, he just wanted to be, first he wanted to be a garbage collector. And then, when he became about 5 years old, he wanted to be a doctor. And he kept asking me questions, where do babies come from and everything. I went to Macy's.
What did you tell him?
I went to Macy's and I bought a book, Being Born. I remember it clearly. And I asked the girl, I said, my son is asking me questions. I don't know what to answer him. She says, buy this book, Being Born. And I brought it home and he read it and he loved it. And that's surely when he wanted to be a doctor.
How did you know to go to Macy's to buy this book?
Macy's was so popular then, you know, they had everything.
So did you go there looking for an answer to tell him?
Yes. Yes. I wanted to see the book. Exactly.
I mean, oh, so someone had already mentioned the book to you?
No. The girl, the sales lady.
At Macy's?
Yes.
But before you got to Macy's, you went to Macy's
to buy a book.
Some book. You didn't know which book
nothing.
Yet. I see. I
nothing.
See.
I didn't
so
know.
You found Macy's did not disappoint.
No, no.
And so Macy's.
And then he wrote a composition. I have it.
What
I have
was
the
it
composition.
About?
Why he wants to be a doctor. He wants to make people better. That's what he said. And he got A+.
Huh. And meanwhile, what did Dennis want to be when he was a little kid? Did he tell
a
you?
A bum.
That's what he said?
I said it. I told him, you're going to be a bum.
What did he say?
He didn't know what he wanted to be.
But he was doing such, such interesting things. You mentioned, Papa mentioned that he had formed a Hendrixian society.
The Hendrixian Society was his own name. He invented that name. He wanted, it was a joke. Jeanette Walker gave him a turtle, I think it was a turtle, a big, big, giant animal, you know? And he took that animal and he said, you know, I'm going to name him Hendrix. I don't know how old he was when he formed the Hendrix.
9, Papa said.
9, good. He was 9 years old. And he said to his friends, you want to be a member of the Hendrixian Society? It's a quarter. So he took a quarter from all the kids. And he gave them a card. And I think that's what they got for the quarter, a card. Really, I don't know what he did for them.
So between his accordion and his shortwave radio and his turtle, he was not into your average things.
No, sir. He was a busy boy, and he was only interested in politics. He really was.
At a young age?
Yes. Shortwave radio. Papa gave him a typewriter. And he loved music.
Did he used to read the paper as a young boy?
Oh, he brought it to school. He brought the New York Times to school, absolutely. And I think also the Russian paper he brought to school.
Pravda?
Pravda, exactly.
That was when he was a little older, maybe?
Yes, as he got older and older and older, yes, he brought these papers to school, and he would read it during class, and the teacher reprimanded him, and, you know.
What were parent-teacher conferences like for you?
Oh, God.
Tell me.
Oh, God. First of all, we went to, who did we go to first? Kenny. Yeah, Kenny's teacher first. What can I tell you? Your son is brilliant, your son is wonderful, your son is good, you know. Accolades through and through and through. They just loved him. Then, da-da-da-da-da-da, we went to Dennis's class. Came in. You see this paper? He signed the report card. He signed your name. He did this, he did that. He never listened. He would spend time in the office many, many days, and he told him he had fever, and they take his temperature, and he didn't have fever, and all he did was entertain the secretaries with jokes. And then I'd get telephone calls, your son broke a glass door, or your son tripped somebody. He was impossible. Home, he was an angel. And I want you to know, you wouldn't believe it, he never fought with his brother Kenny. They never fought. In fact, Kenny loved him. He always stuck up for him.
And
really,
did you make any adjustments in how you raised him, given all the difficulties in school?
Papa.
What did Papa do?
My husband. He said one day, he said, Hill, you know what? We're not going to tell him what to do. If he doesn't do homework, so he won't do homework. If he won't study, he won't study. I don't care. No more. We're finished telling him what to do. Let him get the worst marks in the world. And so he said, Papa said, my husband, he said he went to sleep one night and he spoke to God, and like he does all the time. And he decided that he was going to lay hands off.
How old was Dennis about?
How old then? When he went to Yeshiva Flatbush.
So that was high school, in other words?
14.
That was in high school.
Yeah.
And what was the effect of your changed
wonderful
tactic?
It was a miracle. It was an absolute miracle.
Well, he talked to God, so. Sorry, we got a little cut off there by a phone call. It was Lulu calling from Brazil. You were saying about how Dennis, when he got to Flatbush, things changed.
Yes. He became friendly with Joseph Telushkin, his very, very dear friend. And he just loved the school. He really did. And he behaved very well. And he did very, very well. And they had a contest. I think it was a contest. That if you won the contest, you would go to any place in the world that you wanted for 1 year. All expenses paid. In fact, Dr. Schiff is the one that, not Dr. Schiff. This was for Kenny. This is for Dennis. And he won the contest, and he selected Leeds, England, because he wanted political science.
When was this? After high school?
After high school.
Before college?
Before college. Before college?
Maybe it was during college? I don't know. So
during college.
During college. He was at Brooklyn College.
Yes, he was at Brooklyn College. Right. And they selected him, and he selected Leeds, England. And he was there for 1 year. He had a cat in his room, which he was allergic to. And he was in the hospital a few times because he was really, really sick, and they didn't know why. Finally, they told him, maybe your cat, so he had to get rid of the cat. And then he was very allergic to the weather there in Leeds. It rained all the time. So he was really sick in Leeds, England, but he had a marvelous time. And that's when he was approached by the somebody from Russia. You know, we discussed Russia, didn't we?
Soviet Jewry. Yes,
Soviet
we did.
Jewry, right. When he was there, he was approached by somebody from Russia. to go to Russia.
So it took him a little longer than Kenny, but he really started to excel tremendously.
To blossom. Yeah.
And you must have been very happy.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. How could you not be?
And he was, in fact, blossoming in his own way, but just not as a younger person, but just not in his classes.
Exactly.
And were you in touch with him that year when he was overseas?
Oh, sure. We were in touch.
And my father also went overseas. We talked about that.
He sure did.
So they followed in your footsteps, traveling abroad. And we talked last time about my parents' wedding and when you met my mom. Who was the first woman who Dennis brought home to
Dennis
you?
Must have brought home a stewardess. You know, there's no doubt about it. Stewardess from Germany and a stewardess from England and a stewardess from here and there and all over. Never a Jew.
What did you say?
Oh, I was telling him, why can't you bring home a Jew? He says, because the Gentiles are much nicer. They got more class.
And what did Papa say?
Who's Papa?
Oh, you are your husband.
My husband. He wasn't as miserable as I was, I don't think.
Really?
No.
Huh. That's interesting.
Yes,
so you,
it is.
So he was pretty open-minded about
that,
it.
Always. Open-minded about everything. Yes. Huh.
And 2 years before Mommy and Daddy got married, my parents, you had your 25th wedding anniversary, 1965. What was that like?
Well, you know, the Walkers lived around the corner from us on 1725 East 27th Street.
Right.
And they invited us for, I think it was Sunday lunch. And we didn't know a surprise. And we came to the house, and it was a complete surprise. There were a lot of people there. And we walked in and, we were taken aback. It was just such a wonderful, wonderful party, you know, and a complete surprise to us. And Dennis, who was about 17, yeah, he got up and he made a speech and he said, I want to say hello to my brothers and sisters in Brazil. And the people were hysterical. He was a riot, Dennis. Because Pop always spoke about it, you know, that he had his girlfriends there and he left babies.
Oh, I see, his actual
and
brothers and sisters.
Exactly. And it was one beautiful party, many, many gifts. And my mother and father came and they gave us that beautiful coffee set.
Mm-hmm.
The large tray with all the four pieces, they gave us that. And we received lovely gifts.
What were you wearing? Do you remember?
Absolutely not.
How did you wear your hair in the 1960s?
Page boy fluff. Page boy fluff. You could see the picture over there or downstairs. Yes.
And what kind of outfits?
I was always elegantly dressed. Always elegantly dressed.
And had you ever had a surprise party before, or was that the first
Never.
One?
Never had a surprise party.
Did you like it?
I loved it. I had a ball. I made a surprise party for Chippy, for her sweet 16.
What was that like?
That was great. That was in 390 Parkside Avenue.
Wow, you remember.
We made a lovely present for her, and we gave her a watch.
Huh.
I remember that very, very well.
Do you remember any of the gifts you got for your 25th anniversary?
Yeah, the silver set and some other silver that's in the closet. And that's all I remember.
And then we talked about, like I said, when Kenny and Jeannie got married. And then that was 1967. 2 years later, Karen was born. And you were suddenly grandparents. And what was that like?
Well, we were in Eagle Butte, South Dakota.
Right.
And she was born in in
August, same day as Dennis.
Yeah, we're
Rapid
not
City.
In Eagle. That's Rapid City, South Dakota, and we and Claire and your mother and Papa and I, we all went to Rapid City to take her out of the hospital. And Papa drove the car, and she was nursing in the car, and she had what you call, what do you call it? You know, when you're very sad, when
postpartum depression.
That's it. She had postpartum depression after giving birth to Karen. She didn't speak. She was very blue. She stayed in her room a lot in Eagle Butte, and she hardly spoke to me or to your mother because she had this postpartum depression. And we were there for about a week, that's all, and then we left, and when we came back, months later, she was fine, you know. But she really suffered from postpartum depression.
You talked a little bit before about how quiet she was when she joined your family. And
oh,
how
sure.
She didn't even know what to call you. When did your relationship with her change? When did it warm
when
up?
When Janice and Dennis got married.
Really, not until then?
Not until then.
And when was that?
When did they get married?
That was in the 1980s.
Who remembers?
About 1980, maybe.
Yeah.
And so it was a long time.
It was a long time.
About 15 years, maybe.
I would say so.
And how come that changed then?
I really don't know, because Janice was calling me Mom immediately, and your mother called me, It was difficult for her.
Mm-hmm.
I understand. Sure.
What was that, getting back to this for a moment, what was that marriage like for you in the beginning with Dennis and Janice? Were you happy?
Very. I was very happy.
And she was Jewish.
Yes, she was Jewish, yes. And she had a lot of personality. She was pretty. She was very nice to me. Oh, yes.
So you got along well right from the start?
Right from the start, I got along with Janice, yes.
And how about with her parents, the
Adelsberg. I wasn't crazy about them, not at all. We were crazy about Claire. Claire was a lady. When it came to the wedding, she wanted to pay for everything. Everything. And Papa said, no, I have to pay for the music and the flowers and I don't know what else. But Claire, she was a lady. And we got along beautifully.
Even though you were very different, but you got along beautifully.
With Claire?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's
in
wonderful.
Florida when she was with us, when we took her on the cruise, when we took her to Grossinger's, she had a marvelous time. We took her all over.
You were real friends.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Papa loved her. Oh, yes.
And so, your relationship, I never heard that before, with my mother kind of changed after Dennis and Janice.
I would say so.
How did it change? How would you describe the change?
I would describe warmth, more warmth. I had a name, and she was just wonderful. Yeah.
And how often did you, obviously, Dennis moved west and Kenny was still here.
Yeah.
So you saw them a lot more frequently.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
A lot more. Sure, when they moved to near the Columbia, you know, Haven Avenue.
Uh-huh.
When they moved
there.
Oh,
after that, yeah.
Yeah, we were there. We helped them. It was pouring rain when they moved, and we helped them. And we knew that she loved, I think it was pancakes or something, and we used to take her out Saturday night, and Kenny worked, you know, doctors worked like dogs, and we take her out. Actually, I would say that she was warmer then.
What was it like for you when she first got sick? That was after I was born, I guess, in 1971.
Your mother was sick when she was going with Kenny. She had pneumonia. And she stayed in my house on 1725. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And every time I sent up food to her, I'd always decorate the plate with a little flower or a note or something. Now, this is before they got married. And she was very thin, very thin. And she didn't eat too much at all. And she used to tell me that when your mother went to work, she'd throw the breakfast down the dumbwaiter.
When her mother went
when
to work.
When her mother
went to work. When Claire went to work, yeah.
When Claire went to work. And she'd throw down all the food because she never had a desire to eat. And then, when they got married, they went to Israel on their honeymoon. And in Israel, she had a terrible back ache. Terrible back ache. And she was on her back all the time, and she suffered terribly throughout her vacation. And when she came home, I think she had an operation. Yeah. And then something happened with her eye. So she had to have an operation on her eye.
So I guess your point is that even before she got very sick, she was sick before then too.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then when she got very sick, that must have been very hard for you too.
Very hard. Very, very.
What was that like?
It was terrible, because here I said, you know, poor Kenny. He's really suffering with her. He was always wonderful to her. It was just one thing after another, and it was a pity on her. And when she started with the methadone, that was a horror altogether, you know, because it wasn't accepted then like it is today.
Mm-hmm.
Because I speak about methadone openly. I would take it tomorrow if I needed it, you know. But I see her reaction to it. And when the doctor wanted me to take methadone, I said, no way. Because Jeannie, you know, she falls asleep all the time. And I said, I don't want that to happen to me. And I want you to know, only your mother could accept it the way she did, and that's where your balls come in. That's the way you accepted your accident, which always will be a hole in my heart. Always.
Okay.
It will.
I never had a grandmother refer to my balls before. I'm quite impressed.
Isn't that terrible?
No, it's fine.
Take it out.
No way. And you used to come over and help out when mommy was sick.
All the time. Sundays, I'd come and bring food. I always cooked. I made Passover for everybody. And whenever they came for a Shabbos or something, I always gave mommy baskets and baskets full of food. So she shouldn't, you know, like she's treating me now. That's how I treated her. She always says, that's how I learned. I learned from you. That's what she tells me all the time.
That's nice.
She always tells it to me. So, it was very hard. She suffered so much. Oh, my God.
And meanwhile, your other daughter-in-law was soon no longer your daughter-in-law.
That's right. After 4 years.
So that was also a very, I'm sure, somewhat traumatic.
Terrible. It was. But I saw it coming. I saw it. Absolutely. When Dennis wanted to tell it to me, I said, I know.
And so you and Papa must have talked about this and been sad a little bit about
absolutely.
Your two sons, what they were
absolutely.
Going through.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Yes. Exactly.
How about your relationship in the beginning? I guess you didn't get to see him that much. With your grandson on the West Coast.
It was very hard.
With David.
But we went out there and we had a lot of nothings, you know. He was introduced as the head of the Brandeis Bar Dean Institute.
You mean Dennis was?
Dennis,
yeah. And I'm talking about when David was born later on. What was your relationship like with him?
With David?
Yeah.
Wonderful. Oh, whenever we came, My heart was broken when he had to say goodbye to his father and go home with his mother. It was such a terrible scene, I can tell you. Divorce stinks.
Yeah. Ugh. But then, I guess I don't know how many years later Dennis got married again.
Right.
And what are you doing there?
Yeah, go ahead.
That's okay. What do you have here? Photographs? What are these photographs?
White House.
Aha. Well, why don't you tell people what you're holding right here?
I'm showing Joshua pictures of Dennis lighting Hanukkah candles at the White House with Clarence Thomas and Sue and all of the Rabbayim.
Wow, this is quite something.
Isn't it beautiful?
That's amazing. Had Dennis been to the White House before?
Many years.
Many years ago. Wow. Yes, there's a beautiful picture of Sue and Dennis. Where are they?
They're in one of the rooms.
Where is this? Wow, that's a beautiful picture.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, that's apropos. When did you meet Sue for the first time?
We met Sue for the first time a year ago. Yeah, mm-hmm. We really love her. It's a very nice girl.
Yeah, and this is a beautiful picture of them.
She's very good to him.
That's wonderful.
I'm just waiting for her to convert.
Mm-hmm. As Fran did.
As Fran did.
Is she taking classes?
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yes.
I have friends who have married people who converted, and they ended up learning a lot more about Judaism.
Exactly.
In this case, that would be very difficult, given that Dennis is a world expert and was just the scholar in residence here this weekend.
Very successful.
What was that?
The weekend was very successful.
Well, let's get back to some years ago. So tell me a little bit what it was like as your two kids were out of the house now, and Papa was an established accountant, and you had all your friends, and you really were entering a different phase in your life. I guess you were now in your 50s and 60s in Brooklyn. What were those years like?
Well, first of all, Karen was born when I was 49. And I was just thrilled, you know, because I was a grandmother still. I kept saying, I only want to be a grandmother in my 40s, and I certainly was. And August 2nd, when Karen was born, I called Dennis in Europe. He was in Europe traveling. And I told him, well, your niece was born on your birthday, and he was so thrilled about it, yeah? Uh-huh. So we remember that every year, you know, Karen and Dennis.
And you were going to say a minute ago, when I was asking, what was it like when the kids were out of the house?
Wonderful. I loved it. I loved my freedom. I didn't have to, I worked, you know, and I'd meet Papa for the symphonies and for his hotel, the club that he belonged to.
The Promenade Hotel?
No, the club that he belonged to. The Promenade Hotel was the hotel where he worked.
Uh-huh.
See, that was
lived there for a while. This was in the early 60s.
Yeah, only in the summer.
And what was that like?
Yeah, I loved it. I didn't have to do anything. You know, I'm a woman who doesn't like housework, don't like cooking, just love to work and get dressed.
Wonderful.
Which I have done.
Yes.
I know you only know me as being dressed.
That's correct. Even right now, you're wearing a leopard skin robe. It's beautiful.
And makeup.
And makeup, of course. How long did you continue working at the nursing home for?
25 years.
And you started in the 50s, so you finished in the early 70s, right about the time you became a grandmother.
Yeah.
And then what did you do with your days?
I just loved it. I met with my friend Sylvia Lupkin, that called me up, Hill, You want to go to New York? Sure, we go to New York. And Yoli, my friend Yoli, her husband died, unfortunately, so she moved to Brooklyn. And I drove my car then, so I'd pick her up, you know. And we'd go to Borough Park and just have a wonderful time. Had lunch out. And it was great.
You once said to me that if there was one job that you thought maybe you should have done or would have really enjoyed, it would have been working in public relations.
That's right.
How come you think you would have liked that so much?
I would have loved that. I would have met people of importance, not sick people, old people, you know, sad stories. I'd have a lot of fun. I love to meet actors and actresses and important politicians. I love that.
And one thing I know is that you're just naturally gifted at is talking glowingly about other people. And that's kind of what you have to do in public relations.
Thank you.
And other people might call it Shepping Nachas. That's PR
right.
really is.
That's right.
And your family.
Exactly. Right.
So did you used to talk as Dennis and Kenny continued to rise in their professions? Did you talk a lot to your friends about it?
About what?
About how Kenny and Dennis were successful.
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, they would tell me, oh, this and this person went to Kenny, and they came home raving about him, saying how wonderful he is. As a matter of fact, tonight, at this party that we went to, a few people said to me, "You're Dr. Prager's parents? Oh, is he wonderful. He took care of my so-and-so, and we'll never forget him. He's marvelous."
He's an incredible doctor.
He is.
I know, and
he really is.
He's traveled and taken care of heads of state and...
Who did he take care of? Dubby or whatever?
King Fahd.
Yeah, King Fahd. Boy, oh boy. That was something. And he didn't keep the money because he said it was blood money.
Well, he gave it to Israel.
You sure did. And Laniato.
And Laniato.
The hospital, yes.
Yeah.
Whereas the other doctors who went said, "Oh, I'm buying a car. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that." Not Kenny.
He's always been very, very proper.
Oh.
He's done the right thing.
Oh, absolutely. So is your mother.
I know.
Very proper.
And they obviously were influenced by their parents.
Well, we hope so.
I remember, I think I'm not betraying too much here. There's a story that I think is very telling, that he once called you, my father did when he was in college, and he said that he had something to tell you. Do you remember this, what I'm referring to?
And he didn't put on Dallas and film.
That's right.
Right.
And this was something he had to share
with
you.
Yes, yes.
And what was your reaction when he told you that?
You know, didn't faze me too much.
Because
really?
I remember Papa saying that he was worried it was some horrible thing and, you know, don't worry so much. And then obviously he's...
Went back more stronger and stronger for Yiddishkeit.
That's right, he's sure.
Oh, your father? Oh, he is absolutely perfect.
I know he is. And what were you going to say?
Matter of fact, tonight at the party, a few people came over to me and told me how much they loved Dennis. We didn't agree with everything he said, but he was wonderful.
Last week when he spoke here.
He was great.
Yeah.
You got another table inside. You got a million tables.
We're okay, Baba.
Sure.
So we are now back. It is December 30th, 2007. And we're going to do another bouncing around one because Papa has... wonderfully consulted his memoir and come up with some things that we hadn't talked about. So in 1966, you had a surgery. What was that about?
I had a hysterectomy, and I was in the NYU hospital, New York University Hospital, and Daddy came up, and he said, "I have something to tell you." I said, "I know." I knew right away. I said, "You're getting engaged to Jeannie." they were flabbergasted. How do you know? I said, look, I know. Woman's intuition. So Daddy brought up Jeannie, and she was very shy, and she looked so adorable. And they announced their engagement, and I was so thrilled. And I said, when are you getting married? And I think Jeannie said, or Kenny said, well, we're going to wait another year. I said, that's ridiculous. You love each other. You're getting married this June. And thank God they listened to me. I can't believe. And so they got married in June.
Why did they want to wait?
They wanted to wait because I think they wanted to accumulate more money or something, you know, to get a little place to live, and it should be easy for them. But we helped them, and Kenny and Jeannie helped them, so it was no problem. And thank God, as I said, they listened.
And what about your surgery?
I was quite sick. I was really quite sick. Instead of being there 1 week, I was there 3 weeks.
And what were you? You were being given drugs for a hypothyroid?
I was given drugs because I'm a hypothyroid patient, and they gave me the opposite drug.
By accident.
What?
By accident.
And yes, I guess. And I really went into a coma. I was asleep for hours and hours and hours.
Were you literally in a coma?
No, it wasn't a coma, but I didn't hear anything. I didn't see anything for many, many hours.
Had you ever been hospitalized before?
No. When I was a little girl? No. For tonsillectomy, I wasn't hospitalized. I came home.
So you were very healthy your whole life?
Yes, I was. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we talked, obviously, about the wedding. And you and Papa then used to go visit my mom and dad in, where was that? Haven Avenue.
Yes.
What was that
like? They moved to Haven Avenue, which is very close to Columbia. And the house, it was an apartment house. And, you know, not great. But really very poor people, I think, lived there. And when they moved, it was pouring when they moved from South Dakota.
Just like when their wedding, it was pouring as well.
Exactly. And we helped them unpack, you know, and so forth. And they were so grateful. And Kenny was on, you know, doctors. Here's one, Dr. David. He knows what it means to be, oh, not you. You're not on. You're not a doctor.
Not yet.
So,
it's okay, Baba. Baba wanted Esty to put on a sweater. She's wearing a blanket. Anyway, we were talking.
They were in Haven Avenue, right, and they made a lovely little home for themselves. But Jeannie was alone a lot, like every doctor's wife is. And we took her out she loved pancakes. So we took her out on a Saturday night. We came over. And it was delicious. We went to this pancake place, and she had such a good time. She loved it. I don't remember if she was pregnant then.
No, that was...
No, she wasn't pregnant
right,
then.
Not yet.
Right. So it was wonderful having her in New York, so we could just drive over. Wonderful.
Meanwhile, yes. We talked a little bit about how Dennis... was interested in Soviet Jewry,
right.
And but we didn't talk about a trip that he took with another young woman. Do you remember that?
He was approached in Leeds, England, and these people knew that he spoke some Russian, and they asked him if he would volunteer to go to Russia to help the Soviet Jews, to bring in Jewish articles and so forth. However, he would have to pose as a cousin to this girl who lived in England. And he said, sure, perfectly all right. And he met this girl, and they went to, it was a very precarious time in Russia, you know, and he went to Russia, and during the night he met with Russians, and he gave them these Jewish articles that he had brought. Fortunately, they didn't take away everything. And then he did so much there. He went Sunday morning to a Hebrew school that they had, you know, nobody knew about, of course. It was a clandestine thing. And he loved it. He saw all these wonderful children wanting to learn Jewish Hebrew. He loved it.
He smuggled certain things out.
He certainly did Siddurim and Talasim and everything he smuggled. And it was during the night, in the middle of the night, that he did these things. And did something happen there on the train? I think something happened to him on the train. He was so scared. He was approached by the Russian police. And I really don't remember. Maybe Papa can fill us in.
Okay.
However, he was really very worried about that incident. But thank God he came home. And of course, when he came home, I was told about everything because Papa had kept it secret, as Dennis wished him to do. He didn't want him to worry. And when he came home, the Lupkins came to the airport, my friends, and quite a few people. We had a little party for him when he came, and it was wonderful. And he said, he was sobbing. I left my people there in Russia. They can't do a thing, and here I am, free. I remember that very clearly. He was really sobbing. And he said, here I am, free. And what are we going to do? How can we get them out? And it affected him terribly. And that's why he started to speak on the street corners for Soviet Jewry.
You mentioned that, as per Dennis's request, Papa kept some of this a secret
that's
from
what
you.
I said.
Are you good at keeping secrets?
Yes. Oh, yes. Really.